pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. We get in touch with the program. Hit me up on that text line. That's how you do so. So to come here from Paul DeMarco in about a half hour to talk about this is kind of an unfortunate situation, one of these mandatory releases, and the victim of an earlier crime finds herself the victim of a crime again by somebody who was let out one of these mandatory release program releases. So that's coming up. Paul and I are going to talk about that. And at 11 o'clock, a freshman lawmaker from our area, Mark Shirey. We hear from him from time to time. He's just joining us in person. We are at the Alabama State House today broadcasting what used to be the reapportionment's office, now the confirmation's office. So Senator Steve Livingston, very kind to loan us the facility. But joining us now, without further ado, he's your Lieutenant Governor, joining us here in person, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Governor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be with you, and good to have you in Montgomery. So welcome.
Hey, thank you for that. I do appreciate it. Well, generally speaking, I spent a lot more time here this year than I have any other year. It kind of mostly just watching you guys at the Senate. How are things going this new quadrennium?
Yeah, it's going well. I think a session's good. We're a little over halfway point, and obviously if you look at what we accomplished last week, I think it's really good for our state. I got tasked with reauthorizing our incentives from the legislature, kind of studying that. And, that's the people got a lot of different opinions on that. And so we kind of dove into that issue, looked at what other states were doing, looked at what we were doing. How do we compare? What type of return were we getting? And because to me, it's important that if we're going to offer somebody an incentive, that's also good for the taxpayer. And so I think when you look at all the growth we've had, and the fact that we're now, got a surplus, a big part of that is the fact that we're incentivizing corporations to come into our state. Our state's growing, our population's growing. And so that allows us to do tax cuts and give money back to the people. So economy's good. The legislative session's good. And one thing in Alabama that's good is, we've got good bipartisan support, right? We don't agree on all issues, but, it's not like other states. It's certainly not like D.C. We actually get along with our colleagues from the other side and work hard at doing that. And, but we've got a Republican supermajority. We're a very conservative state, so we're going to continue to push conservative policies.
And it's remarkable to watch. You spent time in the House, so you've seen it, kind of from all sides. But the thing that's striking about this year and this early going so far, there's been a smattering of no votes on stuff, but most of the time something comes to the floor and they want to get it done, it's passing by these big margins. There seems to be a lot of agreement on things.
Yeah, and I think it's good. And I think it's also a testament to the fact that our economy's doing well. We're able to do things that are good for people. We focus a lot on economic issues, education issues, workforce development issues, small business issues, military issues. And those are issues that are good for everybody in the state if you're doing those right. And so we're going to continue to push those. But I think what we're seeing in the legislature, and Speaker Ledbetter, I think, has come in, done a great job. Pro Tem Reed has, come back in a second, first full quadrennium, but doing a great job. And I think at the end of the day, as long as you communicate with people about what you're doing, why you're going to do it, how it benefits the state, those are all positives. And so, yeah, I've been encouraged by what's going on, but also think it helps that things are going well, right, in our state. And so that's a positive thing.
Governor, I guess some of my radio colleagues up in your office today doing their show, but it seems everybody's kind of drawn to Montgomery. This is a big day, a pivotal day for school choice. I'm very skeptical of the chances here of this particular legislation, but I think it's important because you have a good showing here. And whatever does eventually happen, be it this bill or something later on down the road, you got to need to show that there's at least some kind of support out there for school choice. And this today is important. And if anything, it sets kind of the table for the discussion or whatever's going to happen either this year or the next.
Yeah, and I think that's important for people to realize out there. A lot of times people get frustrated because you can't get some passed the first year. I think there's a huge national movement on school choice. I think there's starting to be a big state movement on school choice. And here's why, right? I think parents want the option to decide what's best for their child. I think it is a bullet we have that will certainly help solve part of the problem. It's not a going to solve all our problems in Alabama, but competition's good in anything. It's certainly going to improve our schools. But it really boils down to me as a parent. I got three kids. You're a parent, right? Who's best to decide what's best for your child? I really don't believe it's the school system I'm zoned for or zip code. I think what's best for that child is for me to decide what's best for my children, right? And so, and I've lived it. I mean, you know, our kids went to public school until last year. We're fortunate enough we can afford to send our kids to a private school. A lot of people can't. I mean, I think so. Reality is, or they're zoned for a public school and they're in the other public schools around them, they can't send them to. And so I think it's not just private school choice or homeschool. It's also have public school choice. But the idea is this, right? You know, we're all paying taxes. And that everybody should be able to take their tax dollars and decide where to send their child. That's really what this is about. Right. I mean, it's common sense to me. And so I think, you know, I think back to a lot of the small breweries in our state, right? The first time that bill got brought up, it got smashed. I think it was Speaker McCutcheon back then brought it up when he was a legislator for his speaker. You know, that ended up passing. Now we got all these different breweries in our state that are coming up. So I don't want people to be discouraged because, you know, we're going to get school choice in Alabama. Hopefully it's this year, but if not, we're going to keep pushing because it's the right thing to do.
So we don't need to think of school choice kind of as the status quo, but what it could be, what school choice does, changes the system. Because to me, look at it, Alabama's a very diverse state. All these school systems, they all do things a different way, municipal school system, county school system, whatever it may be. And can the state come in and do a one-size-fits-all approach, even though you have this sort of diverse system that operates?
You know, I think, you know, on that, to your point, there's a lot of different, you know, depending on where you live. I mean, you know, Marshall County, we have, what is it, 5, 6, 7 different school districts, right, in a county of, you know, 100,000 people. I mean, you could argue that doesn't make sense. And certainly you've got one school system there that's top 10 in the, you know, state. You got other school systems that, you know, have been failing, right? And so that just in that one county, you know, you think about somebody that's failed for that failing school system. Well, what about, why can't they go to one of the top school systems, right? Why can't they go somewhere else? And so I think the idea of how we set up systems in our state and the fact that if you're zoned for an area, that's the only school you can go to is a bad model. I'm just going to be honest. I think it's a bad model. So I think the parents need to decide what's best, and whether that's private school system, public school, you know, whatever, homeschool, charter school, you know, I mean, whatever the issue is. And we need to have more charter schools. We need to have more magnet schools. But it all comes down to choice and competition. And I think if we do that and give our students that, I mean, who's going to be against that? You know, okay, maybe teachers union, but why? It's about control.
Right.
All right. And, you know, it's not about what's best for the student. Now, if they came to me and said, okay, I want this for student outcomes, but it's about control. And so we've got to just bust that monopoly up and let the parents and the children win.
Well, as somebody sends your kids to private schools, a lot of parents will send their kids to a private school because whatever reason, they don't like what's going on. They don't want the government intrusion. They prefer, you know, maybe it's a religious school or something. If the government gets involved through the funding mechanism, there's a fear. And I know that it seems like the legislature, at least with this effort, is trying to prevent that from happening. But the fear that once the government gets in, that it's going to try to start calling shots within private schools. And I don't think that's an irrational fear. What do you say to those people that worry about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, first thing, we just got to make sure it doesn't happen. It's a fear that's rightfully so. Our kids go to a Christian school, right? I mean, we want them to continue to learn the Bible. We think that's important. They have a Bible class, you know, every morning. And, you know, they're going to continue to learn that as they go there. This gets back to not so much, it's our tax dollars that are funding this. So what we're talking about is through an ESA, you get your set amount of money, and then you decide where you want that money to go to help support your child. So if you want it to go to a Christian school and you're fine with that and you know what your kids are going to be taught, then go there and let your kids, you know, be taught that, right? And I don't think the government has any business in that situation telling that school what they can or can't teach. I really don't. I mean, and so, as far as that goes. So I think obviously something we're going to have to continue to monitor. There's going to be people that will try to, they'll try to break, or find a loophole, right? And
right.
And so, we'll have to pay attention and fix that as it comes up. But I think at the end of the day, it just gets back to what's best for the children. I think choice are certainly in education is, a no-brainer. So
Let's move on to something else real quick. We've got you here for just a few more minutes. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth joining us here at the State House. Governor, grocery tax, budget ideas out there floating around. The one on paper we see, I think, is Chairman Garrett and Chairman Orr in the Senate rolled it back step by step. What do you think of these ideas out there? I know you're an outspoken proponent of this, but does it matter to you how it's done?
I think, we're supportive of getting, my long-term goal is to make sure we eliminate the grocery tax in Alabama. I think so. We've looked at a lot of different ideas. We're getting ready to roll out a proposal that'll eliminate the grocery tax in half. Okay. It'll phase it in over 4 years. And we've got, as of a few minutes ago, we've got 34 of the 35 senators co-sponsored and, working on getting the 35th, which would be all of them. Speaking of the House caucus today, I think I can get a lot of the House members on board. And this will be step one towards eliminating the grocery tax. And I think the thing that we're trying to do is eliminate $304 million is a big cut, right? I don't remember the last time we cut $304 million in Alabama on anything, right? I mean, so that's a huge cut, which I think we need to give because it's going to – everybody in our tax bill is what – uses the definition of SNAP, which, I mean, what that basically means is everything except for tobacco and alcohol.
Right.
All right, so it's all food. So if you go, you're going to get a discount, right? I mean, on your grocery tax bill. And the goal is to eliminate it, right? We can't, locals can still do what they want, but this bill does freeze locals where they can't raise it. I think that's real important. What I don't want to do is, okay, we eliminate the grocery tax.
And then they just come in and fill the void.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. So we're not going to let that happen. So it's going to actually, on food, it's going to cap it where they cannot raise it. They can lower it, but they can't raise it. And I think that's important. People need a break. I mean, look at the Biden inflation, what's going on in the economy. I've seen that meme about the picnic stuff going up. But, I mean, let's just look at eggs recently, right? Just skyrocketed. I mean, everything's gone up. So we need to give a break. And we're in a position where we can. And so I think, that bill will certainly, I think Senator Jones is going to carry it in the Senate. Not sure yet in the House. But, to get 34 or 35 senators, which is almost everyone sponsoring that, that's huge, right? And I think sends a clear message that Alabama is ready to, take the first step in eliminating the grocery tax and, do it in a way that's going to be beneficial to everyone.
Well, what do you think we're going to see the timeline on this? What are you looking at?
I think Senator Jones is going to introduce the bill on Thursday.
So it'll be that, then it'll pick up.
Yeah, and then we'll start, getting it rolling. And I'm going to, I kind of was on that, got involved in the incentive stuff last week. So we're going to start pushing this and, get it passed. And I think it's going to happen. So, and we're going to work hard to make sure it happens.
A little bit of breaking news there for your listeners. Last thing we get you out of here on this. I know you got to go, busy man, but everything else, you're looking at the budgets and stuff like that. You keep an eye on that as you chair over the Senate. Seems like it's going well.
Yeah, budgets are good. I mean, I think you're getting ready to see a House pass general fund yesterday. Senate's getting ready to have education budget next week moving. I think the issue we have now is the economy is doing well in our state, and what do we do as far as – and we are starting to see some flatlining. So I want to make sure your listeners understand that. We've seen growth last 2 months is starting to flatline, which kind of is, I think what we're seeing on a national level. So we do have to be wise in making sure. So I think you're going to see us save money, continue to put money back. I think that's very wise and, something certainly used in business and personal life. Make sure we save money for – you know, there's going to be times where things will go down. Invest money, tax cuts, and I think they'll, you know, governor obviously wants a rebate. I think there'll be some type of rebate as well. I'm not sure what that is.
All right. Well, it's something to keep an eye on. Governor, you've been very kind with your time, and we appreciate you stopping by this morning.
Yeah, always great to be on.
All right, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk, 106.5.
Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Singing, song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth.